Mavericks and Dance the Night Away. Before that, Dave Edmonds and Queen of Hearts. So it's 8:15, the Full English Breakfast Show. Now with the global coronavirus pandemic going on, it's easy to forget that the Brexit process is still continuing. And for British people living in France, there is an important date coming up, says the local France Today. All British people currently living in France and those who move here before December the 31st need to apply for a new carte de séjour under the withdrawal agreement. The local says the agreement gives quite generous terms to those already living here to remain, but everyone, even people who already have a carte de séjour permanence, will have to apply for a new residency permit. At present, it's not possible to make the application, and the French government is setting up a new online system for British people, which is scheduled to go live in July. Whether it actually will or not is a different matter. People who already have a carte de séjour permanence need to use the site to swap their card for the new one, and everybody else needs to make a new application.
Oh, crikey.
It's enough going on already, isn't there?
I know, just to add to...
And the only exceptions to this are British people who have dual nationality with another European country and those who applied using the No Deal portal that was briefly online in October 2019. Anyone who successfully applied on the old portal should have received an email telling them their application will be moved to the new portal. At present, we don't know exactly what the new online process will involve, but those who managed to use the No Deal portal last year said it was quite user-friendly, which makes a change, and simpler than many administrative processes. Everyone makes their application online, although there is expected to be an exemption for people who have no internet access, and then applications will be passed to the prefecture where you live for processing. Ahead of it going live, citizens' rights group France Rights, who've been in close contact with French authorities over the process, are asking people to fill in a survey detailing their concerns about the process. Now, the group will be providing detailed information on the new process and already has comprehensive information on the terms of the withdrawal agreement. Calvin Meadows from France Rights says taking a snapshot of where people are right now will help us plan how to go about things and what info we need to be looking at. The survey is short, simple and completely anonymous, and you can find a link to that on the local France's websites today. It's paywall free as well. Also, don't forget you've just got a couple of weeks left to get your tax returns in.
Okay. You've done yours, Clever Clogs.
It
took you a while and you got very grumpy.
Well,
you shouted a lot and...
I don't think I shouted quite, but well, I harumphed a bit.
You huffed and puffed a lot.
It did take me several hours and I finished it and clicked on the complete button and I got home and just checked some other stuff and realised I'd left half the stuff out, so I had to go back and correct it, but I got there in the end, yeah. 17 minutes past eight. It's been a long time since we've had a woofer update.
And now it's time for Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Riviera Radio.
Good morning, Sarah and Rob. So just to give you a little Woofer of the Week update. The Refuge Jean Duflo, that's the one in Antibes, has reopened. And due to the current situation, they'll only allow two visitors at the same time. And they ask that you wear a mask and gloves, as well as respecting the safety distances between yourself and their staff. All of these places exist with very few helpers and they need to keep them safe and well for the places to tick over and the animals be cared for. It seems like most of the rest of our local refuges are asking you to call ahead first and to make a proper appointment, and I guess this is so that they can manage the flow. If you've seen a dog online, though, on their website and you'd like to know more, then do call them. Or if you've been thinking about fostering or adopting a dog, then do call them. They're happy to talk to you. And most of them prefer you to call in the afternoon. I think they've been really badly hit, actually. People aren't going, people aren't adopting or even donating, which is really sad. But obviously people have other worries right now. So stay well, everybody, and have a really good day.
That was Woofer of the Week. For more details about this week's Woofer, go to the 106.5 Riviera Radio page on Facebook or our website at rivieraradio.mc. Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Woof. Viera Radio.
Time for this morning's comedy. Captain Peacock, are you free?
Captain Peacock? Oh, I have Mr. Rumbo for you.
There's no need for me to speak to him.
Oh. He doesn't want to speak to you.
Just tell him I want to see him,
Hello? Oh, he's hung up.
Oh, dear. Well, get him again. Just tell him he's wanted.
Hello, Captain Peacock? Oh, I'm sorry. Would you tell him Mr. Rumble wants him? Thank you.
I need a file.
Oh, I think I've got got one in here.
From the filing cabinet.
Oh, sorry.
Oh. Oh, see what that is, will you?
Mr. Rumbold's office. Oh, it's Captain Peacock.
Oh, dear. Well, ask him what he wants.
What do you want? He wants to know what you want.
Well, I want him in here, not on the phone.
Mr. Rumbold doesn't want you on the phone. Oh.
What is it?
He's hung up again.
I'm going to get very cross in a minute.
I hope it's nothing I've done.
No, no, well, let's try again, shall we?
Try what?
Try to get Captain Peacock on the phone.
But I thought you wanted him in here.
Well, I'd better do it myself. Hello, who is this? What do you mean you can't guess? I'm not asking you to guess who I am. I want to know who you are. I see. You won't tell me until I tell you. It's hopeless, isn't it? This is Mr. Rumbold. I want to speak to Captain Peacock. Well, will you find Captain Peacock and tell him he's wanted urgently on the phone?
Oh, thank you, sir. I'll take it here if you don't mind. Captain Peacock here. I understand you have an urgent telephone call for me.
It's me.
I'm sorry, sir. I understood you to say it was for me.
It was for you.
Well, I see no reason why I shouldn't take an urgent telephone call. I mean, it might have been from my wife, my mother.
It was me phoning you.
Well, what do you want, sir?
I wanted to speak to you urgently.
Well, you only have to pick up the telephone.
Excuse me.
Well, what was it that you wanted to see me about?
I want you to advise the staff of the decoration programme.
Today's quiz. Yes. On this day in 1506, Christopher Columbus died in Spain. On this day in 1978, Mavis Hutchinson, 43, became the first woman to run across America. If it's your birthday today, you share it with the singer Cher and Oscar-winning actor James Stewart. But on this day in 2000 was the English FA Cup final.
Yes.
Between?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, and you call yourself a football fan?
2000, but Chelsea.
Against?
Middlesbrough.
It was against Aston Villa.
Oh, yeah, and we won.
Yeah, what was the score? You get an extra point.
2-0, wasn't it?
No, it was 1-0.
And didn't Roberto Di Matteo score the fastest goal in FA Cup history?
Yes.
It was an absolute screamer from about 40 yards. Oh, I remember that.
Well, the musical question attached to all of this was what was number one at the time in the UK?
I don't know.
May 2000.
No idea.
It was Don't Call Me Baby by Madison Avenue.
Oh, really?
Okay. On this day in 1979, which British singer-songwriter was the first Western pop star to tour the USSR?
Who? Sorry, what?
On this
Elton
day...
Elton John.
Yes. You were listening. You do what my daughter does. She always answers, what? You heard what I said.
No, I caught half the question.
OK. And finally, on this day in 1970, the Beatles movie Let It Be premiered in the UK. 3 years earlier, on this day in 1967, the BBC banned which Beatles song because of a drug reference?
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds?
No, I didn't even realise it had a drug reference.
Strawberry Fields Forever?
No.
It's 1967. No, go on, you have to tell me.
It was A Day in the Life.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Is that about drugs?
Well, he says, went upstairs and had a smoke.
Oh, right.
Somebody spoke and I went into a dream.
Oh, right, okay.
He could have been having a fag, couldn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
Your box of tricks is working, mine isn't, by the looks of it.
I'm happy to pay for a call to speak to you any day of the week.
Well, you've had a good year, you can afford it, you know.
I wish.
Okay, well, yesterday you were saying it looks like European markets will be able to hold on to their gains, and they didn't in the end, apart from the DAX, which was up slightly.
No, they didn't. It was a weaker day for equity markets pretty much across the board. In Europe, they were weaker despite the announcement of that €500 billion European recovery fund and a surprise jump in German investor confidence. Stocks in the United States are weaker for the first time in four sessions after reports circulated that the vaccine that was partly credited for the big rally that we saw on Monday didn't produce enough critical data to assess its success. There's also mixed earnings in the United States. Walmart topped expectations. Home Depot disappointed. I think that's the first time they missed expectations in 6 years. S&P 500, NASDAQ turned negative in the last hour of trading. It was a day of fluctuating stocks actually throughout the session. Early in the day, we heard from Fed Chair Jerome Powell reiterating during a Senate hearing that the central bank is ready to use all weapons in his arsenal to help the US economy endure the coronavirus pandemic. We didn't go into great detail there. S&P 500 was down 1.1%. NASDAQ was off 0.5%. Looking at a slightly mixed start on the European bourses this morning. Johnny Corlin FTSE down 6 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 9 points. Cantons in Paris up 4 points. Oil prices rose amid signs of improving demand and a drawdown in US crude inventories. Ongoing worries, however, over demand capping gains, but it did see Brent trading back $32.50.
Any chance that Jerome Powell might start using hydroxychloroquine as a treatment for the economy?
That's a good question. No, I think he will try and stay out of the controversial measures suggested by President Trump.
Tin hats all round, isn't it? The UK, talking about tin hats, the UK has set out its global trade ambitions. It's full of holes, isn't it?
There are some areas that are missing, it has to be said. UK set out its tariff plan for global trade when, if it leaves the European Union at the end of this year. The plan includes cutting import duties on many products while protecting industries such as automotive and agriculture. Items including dishwashers, freezers and Christmas trees will all enter the UK tax-free. I don't know if that's good or bad.
Garden shears.
Is that right?
Yeah, garden shears, yeah.
Okay, nice. Well, that's important in these, you know, people at home gardening a lot, so they'll benefit from that. Tariffs on agricultural products will continue, 10% tariff on cars. Britain's global trade tariff regime is an important feature of its economic policy as it leaves the European Union. So it replaces the EU's common tariff regime that's in place. UK said 60% of its trade will come in tariff-free under a plan compared to 47% currently. Should remember, of course, UK is engaged with trade talks with the European Union aiming at signing somewhat of a Canada-style accord which would eliminate most tariffs and quotas on goods but would introduce new business to areas that they would have to focus on in order to comply, including things like customs paperwork.
Yeah, David Davis, the former Brexit secretary, said yesterday now is the time when the German car manufacturers are going to react. No sign from Berlin so far.
Yeah, it's still going to be a difficult negotiation. We remind ourselves that the UK has until, the end of June to seek an extension to the transition period, something that Boris Johnson vowed not to do. But, of course, the world has changed dramatically since he came to power.
Yeah, are you still, because I mean, last week you were saying that you were expecting a one-year extension. You know, that's the consensus in the financial world. But, you know, it's going to be an almighty climb down if he does, isn't it?
It will be, but it's probably got the most significant excuse that anyone could ever deliver in the history of politics to explain why that is the case. So I don't think the backlash would be overly dramatic from that perspective compared to what you'd normally have expected.
Well, that's what the opinion polls are saying, but as a counterpoint to that, they say that they just could blame the whole thing on the coronavirus and say we're going to do Brexit anyway, but it's not Brexit's fault when things start going pear-shaped. It's all down to the coronavirus.
Potentially so, but listen, you need to try and to maintain the UK's growth prospects. That's difficult enough against the backdrop of the coronavirus. Not achieving a deal with the European Union in the time that was given the time frame was already considered extremely short, would further potentially risk UK growth prospects.
And Marks and Spencer's not having a very good time. Not surprising when they're knocking out hand sanitizer for £11.50 a pop.
Yeah, they were somewhat criticised for that. They probably didn't sell that many of them looking at their results.
You can get a meal and a two and a bottle of Plonk for that.
Full year profit came in at £403 million. Forecast was £415 million. Like-for-like sales in the last quarter was down 1.6%. But if you look underneath that headline figure, somewhat of a mixed performance. Fourth quarter food sales are up 4.6%. We know food has been very strong, though M&S not benefiting perhaps as much as other retailers. But you look at clothing and home sales, which has been the real weak point for Marks and Spencers for a prolonged period of time. Sales there were down 13.8%. Marks and Spencer say they've been implementing an aggressive cost reduction program. That continues. M&S share has been a poor performer, down 60% year to date.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 122.5. Euro dollar coming in at 109. €1.12 for your British pound this morning.
Looks like you're going to have to get Uncle Barkley to pay the phone bill for the next couple of days.
Well, if it helps you out, we'd be glad to.
All right, well, I'll try and pick it up when you... Enough said. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Hang pots and Barkley.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyser has the top stories across the Riviera.
The Monégasque government has reassured worried parents after a maths teacher at the Lycée Albert Premier tested positive for COVID-19. The teacher was taken ill last Wednesday and underwent tests on Friday, which proved positive. Officials have said that even though the test was positive, there is little foreseeable risk, as all the necessary health measures were taken by staff and pupils at the school. Students from the class will take a PCR test today, and the establishment is to remain open. In addition, an investigation is underway to determine the patient's contacts leading up to the diagnosis. Meanwhile, the testing campaign for residents and employees in the principality was launched on Tuesday, with 1,500 people being tested so far. The number of people being admitted to hospital in France due to the coronavirus continues to decline. France's health minister, Jérôme Solomon, delivered the government's daily report during a press conference on Tuesday. With no mention of the number of deaths due to COVID-19, Solomon announced that 18,468 people remain hospitalised, with intensive care units continuing to empty, counting 1,894 cases. Since the start of the epidemic, 99,258 people have been hospitalised in France. 62,500 have returned home. Local MP Eric Pourget of the Alt-Maritime has called for a crackdown on regulations when disposing of surgical masks. Many masks are being found discarded on the streets of cities and villages since the end of the lockdown. A majority of surgical masks are effective for 3 to 4 hours against the virus and take 450 years to decompose. Current regulations in place mean that anyone caught by police discarding a mask on the public highway is liable for a €68 fine. The MP wants to see this fine increased to €300. Marlene Schiappa, France's Secretary of State in charge of equality between men and women, has called for a re-evaluation of women on the front line of the coronavirus. According to a recent study carried out by INSEE, nearly 9 out of 10 nurses and caregivers are women, nearly 9 out of 10 cashiers are women, and almost 2 in 3 teachers are women. The local Red Cross in Antibes-Valeris is offering COVID-19 testing to homeless people on a voluntary basis from next week. Results should be available within 24 hours and support will be offered to those who need it. France's Minister of Foreign Affairs, Jean-Yves Le Drian, has announced that any French nationals and permanent residents in France arriving from abroad outside of the EU are to self-isolate on a voluntary basis for a fortnight. The minister confirmed that the voluntary self-isolation for those arriving from outside of the European Union will be requested from today, Wednesday the 20th of May. France's Scientific Council has said that it does not oppose to a second round of local elections in late June. The Scientific Council confirmed that local elections can be held, but on condition that a series of sanitary measures are respected. 200,000 checks have been carried out in France concerning the 100-kilometre travel limitation set by the French government at the beginning of the easing of lockdown measures. In total, 950 fines were issued during the first week of deconfinement. The mayor of Nice, Christian Estrosi, has said that construction of the iconic project in the centre of Nice is running 6 months behind schedule. When completed, the iconic will link the tramway to the main railway station and will also contain a hotel, auditorium, shops, offices, restaurants and a sports hall. During a visit to the site on Tuesday, the mayor said that construction work with safety protocols had restarted on May the 11th and the project should be open to the public in the second half of next year. Toulon-Hyères Airport has announced the resumption of certain flights. One return Air France flight to Paris Charles de Gaulle will be made from the 2nd of June, increasing to two flights per day from June the 15th. Finally, due to the success of a drive-in cinema in Cannes, organisers have announced a larger screen for further projections to be held next week. Launched in the Palm Beach car park in order to attend the new Cine Drive, cinema goers must book Eon and Olympia or Arcade Cinema websites or via the link on cannes.com. Screenings take place at 9:30 p.m. with access to the parking from 8:30 p.m.
Riviera Radio Sports News.
Motorsport, the Automobile Club of Monaco, has announced there will be three major events in the Principality next year. The club says because this year's historic Grand Prix had to be cancelled because of the coronavirus pandemic, it will take place next year instead between the 23rd and 25th of April, with the 4th Monaco E-Prix taking place on the 8th of May, and then the 78th Monaco Formula One Grand Prix will be staged between the 20th and the 23rd of May. The news has been received enthusiastically by motorsport fans who've been starved of action so far this year and will bring some much-needed extra revenue to the Automobile Club and the Principality. And that means, I suppose, the year after 2022, when there would have been a historic Grand Prix anyway, we'll have another three in 2022.
Maybe the case, yeah. Keep you busy.
Formula One says it will be unable to hold a British Grand Prix this season if personnel are not given exemptions from plans to quarantine international travellers. The UK government is set to impose a quarantine requirement of 14 days on all arrivals from abroad, and the sport says that the regulations would make it impossible for the Silverstone event to go ahead. The UK Department of Culture, Media and Sport said no decision on possible exemptions had yet been reached. Football, there have been six positive coronavirus cases confirmed among English Premier League players and coaching staff as clubs return to training on Tuesday. One player at Watford and two staff at Watford tested positive, as well as the Burnley assistant manager Ian Wone. The other two cases are as a third club. The details have not been revealed. A total of 748 players were tested, along with staff from 19 clubs. Those affected will now self-isolate for 7 days. And in racing, some courses in France are to close again just a week after the sport returned to the country behind closed doors. Government approval for racing has now been withdrawn in areas still affected by the coronavirus outbreak. Longchamp, Saint-Cloud and Auteuil are among those that have been ordered to close again. The French 2,000 and 1,000 guineas in June could now be switched from Longchamp to Deauville as a result.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle Maritime in the Var, the general situation is a depression 1,007 millibars over the Tyrrhenian Sea. The winds are southwesterly, force 2 to 3. The sea is calm. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat 1,012 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, mainly fine, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are westerly, force 3 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,011 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, mainly fine, force 3 to 5 westerly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Mainly fine in coastal areas, some showers inland in the afternoon, light variable winds, temperatures 25 to 27 degrees. Overnight lows 19 degrees on the coast, 15 degrees inland with clear skies. Thursday and Friday mainly fine with highs of 23 to 25 degrees. Finally,
When flirting, women look for seriousness and maturity, but men want beauty, according to a recent study. The secret to successful flirting still lies in appearance rather than corny chat-up lines, but women also like intelligence and tenderness in a man. Researchers found that men and women both fall for people who are good-looking, well-dressed and charming. Men are reportedly seen as particularly good catches if their appearance and what they say suggested that they were possessed of intelligence and wealth. And the researchers also found that the gentle approach worked best, with a suitor who was polite, respectful and did not move too fast likely to be more successful. The three highest ranked traits were humour, intelligence and good looks. Humans have used flirting to attract suitable mates for centuries, the researchers said. Traditionally, flirting was a way of showing someone else that one would be good for breeding. So men would demonstrate their strength or reliability as a prospective father, and women their good health for motherhood. And many of those aspects remain, though a subtle approach is now more welcome than a brash one. Although the chat-up lines apparently never go away.
Really?
Do you come here often? Is that the one? I don't know. You're very quiet.
Don't know what to say.
Speechless.
I've forgotten all my chat-up lines.
Oh, come off it.
You're up to date. The news is on the website, rivieradio.cmc. I'm here till Friday.